All right. Hello, everyone. You are listening to Coffee with Millennial Z, Episode 3. My name is Victoria Barella.
And my name is Jeremy Jones.
And today we will be talking about choosing passion as your career.
We want to thank our sponsors, Ingram Micro, and find out how they can help you with your AV and IT needs.
Yep. And of course, we'd like to do a shout out to Rave Pubs and Rave Radio. Thanks, guys. You can find this podcast and other AV news at ravepubs.com. And speaking of Rave, one of our guests is from Rave. We've got Gary Kay. Hello, Gary.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it on this Halloween.
Thanks, Gary, for joining us. Well, since it's Halloween, did you do any Halloween festivities? Are you dressed up as anything?
I never dress up for Halloween, but I love the candy. So yes, I lots of candy today.
I love the candy as well.
So could you tell about what you do and how it extremely relates to the AV industry, Gary?
So I own Rave Publications, and we are a news source for the AV industry. And we publish news in three different ways: through push, pull, and social. Push through email newsletters, pull through a website, and social through LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. So we're trying to hit new product news, technology news, people news in the way that people want to get their news. So that's really our focus.
That's awesome. I know you're also involved with Infocom, Gary, correct? And I know you're also a professor at the UNC School of Media and Journalism. Is that correct?
That's correct. I've been in the Infocom board in the past. I've served as the Professional Education Training Committee for 12 years. I was on the actual board of Infocom, and I was actually the chair of the training, the PETC, the Professional Education Training Committee, for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So served for 12 years total. And yeah, I teach at UNC, and so I am around millennials all the time. All the time. It's a big part of my life. I mean, I have two millennial daughters, actually.
That's perfect. So you're right. Totally surrounded by us. You can't get away from us.
I can't get away.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of millennials, we also have one of our guests, Steven Rodriguez, with a Fortune 500 tech company. Hi, Steven.
Hi, how's it going?
Thank you. Good, good. Did you do any fall festivities, Steven?
No, I did not. No.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'll make Claudia bring you candy and stuff. You guys can munch over that.
Send some through the phone.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. Steven, can you tell us maybe what you do and what kind of technology you mostly work with?
So I've been in a tech company for about maybe 5 years now. It's been a huge push for us with phones and tablets and stuff like that. And it's also been a huge push for us with wearable technology, TVs, you know, washers and dryers, appliances and stuff like that also.
Cool, cool. So I see you're totally into that technology. How long have you been in kind of the technology industry, would you say?
About maybe 6-7 years already. I started at a very young age. Started, you know, working on my own computers, working on, you know, iPods and, you know, cell phones and stuff like that. Wanted to develop, you know, applications and wanted to develop just designs for, you know, interfaces for devices. So I've been working on that for a while.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome. You have a passion with this, which kind of goes into our next topic. Our topic of the day actually is choosing passion as your career. What attracts millennials to the career choices that they're making? Steven, can you elaborate on that a little?
Maybe what satisfies you in your career, or what really drew you maybe to even working with this?
Yeah, definitely. Something that really drew me is just seeing that someone understands technology really, you know, helps me build my, you know, emotions and momentum. Just simply showing someone how to use a camera on a phone, or showing someone how to, you know, use FaceTime or something like that. It really like brings the inner me inside of all this technology stuff. I know everyone doesn't understand it. So just helping people out, making sure that their life is connected and making sure that they understand what is going on in their life is something that really, you know, motivates me to keep going and keep reaching my goals with technology and stuff.
Definitely. I was actually, I was thinking about that question myself because we're also millennials. And some of the things I came up as well, maybe like what drew me into either technology or the career choices was nowadays we have kind of more at work, at home, remote work that is available for us, or like travel for, you know, our work. That's something that maybe drew me into it. So, and I read some articles recently about like the company culture changing nowadays too, because of all the technology that's growing, and, you know, you're kind of stuck with your phone on the weekends too. So it's like a plus and minus how it affects you, you know, in the job, in your job. But, you know what, you know, we can go on about like all the great perks, or requirements that we're actually looking for in a career. But, Gary, since you're always around us millennials, and you're a professor at the UNC School of Media, what do you see? What do millennials kind of focus on when they're looking for a career?
You know, there's definitely a difference between a millennial looking for a job and any previous generation, including my own generation. Mm-hmm. And that is, they want to have a passion for what they do. They want to believe in what they do. They don't want to just do what they're interested in. They want to believe in what they do. And that's a big difference. They have to have a personal tie to it. So yeah, all the technology's cool. Having the digital leash where you're available all the time is cool. And having access to the internet 24/7 is cool. And having access to watching content is cool. But you know what really motivates them is feeling like they're really part of something and that they're making a difference. So I see a lot of the millennials that are around us, not only just here at Extron, but also the students that I have, they're multitaskers. They're not involved in just one thing. So they're doing their job, but they're also volunteering, and they're also doing these things because they're involved in something that they really believe in. So I would encourage people who are wanting to, and you know, you guys are millennials, so I'm talking to you, but so you already know this, but I think if you want to be successful with selling to millennials or involving millennials in your organization, you have to hire people that really believe in what you do, and they're going to see through you if you're fake. They're going to see through you if you're just trying to hire them because they're young or trying to manipulate them. They really have to have a passion for it, and it's a different kind of thing because the generation before them, commonly referred to as the me generation, they're not that way, and that's just a fact.
Mm-hmm. Right. Could you go into a little bit, Gary, maybe the older generation, because we're so used to it. We grew up thinking like, okay, we're definitely going to go for passion. So this is so normal to us, but how was it maybe before?
When I was in college, I had a lot of friends, and I'm sure myself included. I don't remember this specifically, but I'm sure I was this way too, that said, you know, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. That was the goal. But I don't hear that from my students now. My students, they want to make a difference. They want to go into political campaigns and change the law. They want to go into a business and change the culture. They're not focused on the money. And in fact, when I was in school, the goal was go out and buy a car and then buy a house. None of my students are now saying, hey, I want to go buy a car and I want to buy a house. They're like, why would I buy a car? I have Uber. Why do I need a house when I can live with a whole bunch of friends? And why do I want to... And they're also not looking to get married at a young age. They're looking to sort of travel. I mean, that's a big thing is to go lots of places. So it's different than it used to be. And so therefore, hiring a millennial, you have to be more flexible. So for example, in your case, Victoria, you're not located where Rave is located. You're located halfway across the country, yet we're finding a way to work with you.
Yeah.
And in Jeremy's case, Jeremy, when he's working with us on projects, he's working all around the world on projects. He's not working just in Chapel Hill. He wants to be inspired by, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jeremy, but you guys want to be inspired by the experience, not just the job.
Right. We are totally agreeing. And if you had video on, we're all nodding our heads like, yep, this is totally true. You're hitting the nail.
It's totally true. And you know, and the thing is, in my generation, if I were your age, if someone would have said, do you want to go to Amsterdam and do a show? I would say, how much are you going to pay me? But now that's the last thing that Jeremy asked. That's the last thing. I don't remember right. Jeremy asking me that. I mean, it was like, are you kidding me? Go to Amsterdam. I want to go to Amsterdam. it's more of the experience. And so therefore it's important that when we bring Jeremy to Amsterdam last year, that we give him the time to explore the town and to do something different, not just make sure we get him paid. It was a different kind of experience. And it's really refreshing. So I see someone like Jeremy, I see someone like you, Victoria, and all my students, I encourage them to participate in nonprofit awareness. I encourage them to participate in changing the world in small ways, whether they get involved in political campaigns, they get involved, you know, what my passion is, helping kids, getting involved in something like that. they want to do those things. They just want to know where to go and help. So it's different. It really is different. I know it's hackneyed and trite. People say that all the time, but this is a very interesting generation, and my kids are part of that generation. I'm excited that they're there.
Yeah, definitely. Bouncing off of that, actually, Stephen, I know you have younger sisters. I also have a younger brother, so I'm trying to encourage him to kind of get into what he likes. I'm like, hey, what do you like? You know, instead of like, oh, he's asking like what the most money is, or, you know, exactly what kind of Gary was saying. Have you had any talks with your younger sisters maybe about like choosing a career, and how do you feel maybe like your attitudes towards like our generation choosing a career?
I have a lot of conversations with them when we're in the car, especially today when we were driving back from the DMV. So we have a lot of conversations with basically, you know, where do you want to go to school? Are you happy there? And do you want to stay home? Do you want to dorm? And then the next question would always be, what do you want to do? And that's where they kind of stumble on. They're like, hey, you know, I really want to do this because this motivates me. But then they're like, no, I changed my mind like two or three days later. It's like, hey, you know, we're having that conversation. I kind of want to do something else now. Mm-hmm. So as we are moving on to the end of the year, one of my sisters is going to graduate. She still hasn't decided what she wants to do, which I feel it's okay. I didn't know that until I was, you know, 17, 18 years old. But I mean, it's better to know when you're at a younger age, you know, hey, I'm motivated by so-and-so, let me pursue this. Because if you're not, you know, it's going to be a little bit harder when you're already in the field and you're like, wait, I don't really like this. Let me go back to school. Let me, you know, take out more loans. And it just gets more complicated. Compared to me and you, I know you have a degree in audio. Mm-hmm. And I have a associate's degree in just sales and management. Mm-hmm. Basically, I knew what I wanted to do at a very young age. I knew that when I came out of high school, I was like, I'm going to go look for a job, be a part-timer somewhere, and then basically, you know, do full-time, you know, school. But when I was a part-timer, I made sure that I was at a place where I was happy. And that's when technology came and I had this big cell phone experience with this huge company. And that's where, you know, everything just rolled out, and so far it's been a smooth ride.
Mm-hmm. I was reading actually a 2015 like research study article from Boston College recently too, and they're talking about how millennials navigate through their careers and some of the things we're talking about now, like work-life balance, or like Gary mentioned that we're kind of pushing our, like, when we get married, when we want to buy a house, a car, etc. So it's good that you're having these conversations with your sisters, because, you know, what drives us is like, okay, we need to be happy in what we do. Maybe we won't start off with like the most amount of money or what we expected, but, you know, at least we're having that experience. Like, you know, if we go to Amsterdam, or we have that experience with our company, you know, do you have any like certifications that you have maybe through your company? Did that also drive you to stay with your company? Because for me, at least for me, some of the things that I liked about staying with my company too was that I was, you know, pushing for certifications as well. So I wanted to ask your experience with that too.
Yeah, certifications is something that's huge with my company at the moment. Mm-hmm. We actually have to be certified to be on the field. If we're not certified, they won't let us do anything with us. Unfortunately, I can't state what I do, and you know, it's a shame because I'm very proud of my company. Mm-hmm. But yeah, being certified is something that really has pushed me to not only be at, you know, exceeding or just meeting, just to go above and beyond for it. To, you know, to your question, I do take care of most of the Chicago, you know, Midwest area. Mm-hmm. So I am entitled to a lot of places where my voice is heard, and it's only heard because I am a leader with my certification. Mm-hmm. You know, without it, I'm pretty sure that no one would ever pay attention to me. I'm pretty sure that no one would ever be like, hey, who's this guy? You know, can we get him out of here? You know,
that goes off about like how we want to like stick out, we want to change, you know, what we do. So it's great that, you know, you get to do that, and I'm happy you're, you know, happy in your company too. Gary, I wanted to ask you actually, since we're talking about certifications, is certifications kind of a thing that's always been around, you know, in industries, or are there more certifications being pushed and like having a standard, at least maybe in the AV industry, to have them?
So that's a good question. The the audiovisual industry has had the CTS, Certified Technology Specialist certification, for like 50 years. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it's only been in the last 10 years that it's actually had any meat to it. And that was driven by the fact that there were standards and sort of best practices that you should follow that didn't exist because the technology was constantly in flux. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the network and the settling down of technology, that has changed. And so, and it's important. I think if you're getting in the audiovisual industry, at a minimum, you have to have a CTS, which is easy to get. You just go to Infocom, infocomm.org, and you just click on their CTS link, and you can get a CTS, a basic CTS, or you can get a CTS installation, CTS design certification, which are a higher level certifications. But it, what it does is it equalizes everybody. So if you know someone has a CTS, you know they have the basic knowledge required to be able to support you on audiovisual professional AV technology. And if they have a CTS installation or CTS design, they have an advanced degree. And you know, it's the fastest way for a millennial to accelerate to the industry. And if someone's a millennial comes straight out of college and gets some level of certification, they're going to move very rapidly through our industry. And as you know, Victoria, and as you've experienced, that there's a huge, huge shortage of young talent in the industry because the industry grew up fast in spite of itself, I guess you'd say. Our industry is sort of fringe. It's not the mainstream computer industry that everybody's familiar with. It's not the mainstream consumer electronics industry. Our industry kind of grew up sort of in parallel or vertically with those industries. Mm-hmm. So the best way to sort of accelerate is to get those certifications. And I'm excited that I was part of the building, the rebuilding of those CTS certifications when I served as chair of the PETSI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I'm actually, every time I talk to someone back from Columbia or any college student, I'm like, hey, you should really look into this industry and all these certifications. And, you know, I tell them my experience and they love it. Actually, there's Kendra, who was part of our first episode. She asked me to come back to Columbia and talk to the group that she started, and it, you know, became successful. And she's like, hey, can you be our spokesperson or something during that time and just tell us about your thing? I'm like, sure, I can tell you, like, all these things that, you know, I really like about this industry are just about, you know, getting your feet on the ground after college. So, like, talks like this, like, yeah, podcasts, and, you know, keeping up with, like, Rave Pubs, all the news, that's, you know, that really...
Well, you know, you make a good point, and that is, I think our industry is really underserving the millennial population. I mean, anybody under the age of 30 is massively underserved. In fact, they're insulted in many ways. We talked about this, Victoria, at Infocom, mm-hmm, where there's an assumption made that somebody young doesn't know their stuff. I mean, you actually personally experienced that. My daughter personally experienced that being at Infocom. She's been at four or five shows, Infocom shows, and three ISE shows. She's been through every educational thing that you need, as have you. And there's an assumption that you look at my daughter and you think young, and automatically you think, well, they don't know the details of the industry. Right. When in fact, this industry is not that complicated. And if given an opportunity, you're going to get an enormous amount of leverage out of hiring somebody young rather than hiring somebody older. So why not give them a chance and treat them with the respect that you should treat them with and encourage them to get certified?
I totally agree. And just going through those shows too, I try to, you know, at least talk to our guests and open, if they're not open to it, I hope they are, but, you know, to having millennials at least, you know, at least shadow them or start, you know, if they don't want to hire us right away, just because maybe we're not up to their standard in any way, at least help us get into it, break into it, you know, show us around, you know, at least be open to it, to educating us. So, but as far as educating
us.
And
I apologize on behalf of all the old people in the industry because in fact it hasn't been handled right. And you know, we've recorded podcasts on this. As you know, we did one at Infocom, not only about millennials being sort of discriminated against, but also women being discriminated against, which is a topic that I think is sort of controversial in our industry, but in fact needs to be addressed. So I hope one day you guys address that.
We will. We definitely will. We had some talk about it in episode one, but, there are some great, you know, every time at Infocom, we have a bunch of the Women in AV breakfast. That's always a great breakfast that I like participating in. And the spokesperson always for that breakfast has great things to say.
Mm-hmm.
But going back on the Boston College research article that I found, one of the things that really stood out to me that I was just like, okay, smiling about it, and I totally agree with it, is that the suggestion to millennials after all the research they've done was be ambitious and actively seek out the careers and jobs that they want to have, because the act of wanting something is the first step to achieving it. And I've seen that with myself, and I'm sure Stephen and Jeremy too, that if you're into it, we're so willing to put extra time out of our workday to learn about it and then come in and be passionate about it and kind of go forward with the company, hopefully, you know, putting as much energy as you'd like us to, you know, to move forward with the projects or whatever else we need to accomplish. So
exactly. You know,
it's very nice to be ambitious in your career.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's sort of like, I think it's assumed it is to be obvious, but at the same time, you've got to put yourself out there. You got to be willing to take chances. And so I remember the very first time I met Jeremy, I remember sitting in, we were eating at lunch at this local pizza place called Bricks here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I remember sitting with him and thinking, you know, this guy knows exactly what he wants to do. He doesn't know the path exactly to get there, but he knows what he wants to do. And I remember being his age and having no clue what I wanted to do. And I was admiring the fact that he knew exactly what he wanted to do. He didn't exactly have the path. The thing is that people have to be willing to sort of mentor people who are in that level of passion. And even though, you know, I know Jeremy's not going to be with Rave long, I know he's going to go on to do bigger and better things, but I also know that I'm going to be part of that experience of getting him there. And, you know, 20, 30 years from now, he's going to look back and I want to be part of that opportunity to make him successful. And it's exciting to know that there's people out there that have that level of passion, and you've got to really leverage that, but at the same time, cultivate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary, for saying that. That was very nice of you. But yeah, in our first episode, we were actually speaking on mentorship and young people in the industry needing to reach out and show ambition and to find people who have already been through some things that they are going to go through and kind of like lead them. And so to have you say those wonderful things about me, I really appreciate it, because I definitely see you as a mentor, and you've definitely helped me out with learning the industry and showing me the ups and downs and ways to go without stumbling too much. So I definitely appreciate those words of encouragement.
Well, thank you.
So if listeners, if you don't know Jeremy and Gary and myself, we work for Rave Pubs, if that wasn't obvious enough, but we work a lot with each other too, with the shows, the conventions, and like Infocom and ISC. But Stephen, I wanted to ask you too, if there are any maybe mentors in your company or where you work, or if you attend any meetings outside, if you kind of go to someone as well, like Jeremy and I do to Gary or other people in our industry. Do you have any mentors that you stick with?
I do. I have at least three or four mentors that I can go to, and they simply just, you know, lay the law at me, and they're like, hey, this is what you got to do. You got to do if you want to get to where you want to be. And I mean, I appreciate a lot of what they do. For the most part, my mentors are at a higher position in my company. And it's really nice of them, because they're not selfish at all. They really want us to achieve what we want to within the company. And my other mentor is someone that I've always talked to. He's actually my godfather. He's another millennial that I know. And that's someone I can legit go to and basically, hey, you know, I'm having this issue. How would you look at it? And how would you overcome it? And then we just sit down, have a coffee, or play some video games and just talk over it and just make sure that, you know, we're both on the same page and that we're doing the right thing. But overall, Gary, you're amazing, man. You've done a lot. Or Jeremy and Victoria, that's really good stuff that you guys do.
Thanks, Stephen. But I'm happy you mentioned that you had a few mentors too, because back at Infocom, the Women of Infocom Breakfast too, we were talking that, it's really great. You don't have to just have one mentor, or an older person doesn't need to have just one mentee, a millennial, to guide. We're going to seek out very many mentors and different things too, like either just in work, or have one just to handle, how do I handle stress at work? Not necessarily what I do at work. So it's great to just reach out, and you know, it's just nice to do it laid back over a cup of coffee, or just take them out, and it's a laid back experience too. So We also appreciate all the mentors out there. Shout out.
It's always good to simply have someone you can just talk to. That's not a, you know, a coworker or, you know, a best friend, someone that's already on the field and mm-hmm. that they know what they're doing because they've already been through that situation. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot of mentors are people that have all this knowledge, you know, just like Google or something, or all these big companies. They just want to give you the right information at the right time. Right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we definitely want to, you know, reach out for a mentor. And if you don't have one, try your best to go find one and rely on them. Like, they're going to rely on you.
Definitely. Gary, do you have some mentees out there? You don't have to name them. Just curious.
You know, you mean people who have mentored me or people who I am mentoring?
Both.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was definitely a lot of people that mentored me. My first employer was Extron, and the owner of Extron, the founder of Extron, Andrew Edwards, was a giant mentor of mine. You know, he doled out advice in these like little sayings and stuff, and it took me a while to really understand what he was saying. But he was a great mentor because he knew the industry and he was super respected. And so anytime I had a question, I could call on him, and I still do today. I think the model that he set for me, which was, you know, giving everybody a chance and sort of following that that advice of not just assuming just because somebody who's young that they don't have anything to contribute, is something I've tried to do. I offer to my students to contact me anytime. I'm readily available in the ways that they communicate. I mean, most of my students communicate me through Facebook messaging and even Snapchat, which is taking me a while to get used to, bond to people through Snapchat. But I've had to get used to that because they don't use email and they don't use the phone. I mean, they actually have phones, but they don't want to actually talk on the phones, which is okay. I get used to that. So you've got to be able to adapt. You got to adapt or die. And I don't want to die if I'm going to adapt. But I hate to cut this short. I loved being a guest on here. And I really appreciate it. But as I told you, Victoria, I had to tell you that I could only join you for the first 30 minutes of your session. But I encourage anybody who's young in the industry, if they, you know, they want any support, not only can they call on Jeremy and Victoria, you know, feel free to call on me and I'll support them. Our industry, our company has been filled with millennials over the years. Everybody in our company is a millennial. Everybody in our company is part of the millennial generation. I'm way older than everybody else. So I know what it's like to help a millennial. I really enjoy it. And I appreciate the opportunity of being part of this podcast. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Gary. One last thing before you go. Can we get some quick advice from you?
I mean, you gotta put yourself out there. You gotta be not shy and be willing to say, like, I need some help. I need to understand what's going on, and not be afraid to say, you know, I don't really understand this. And I think that's the part. I think people sort of clam up and get nervous and say, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed at a meeting to say I don't understand something. You know, it's actually refreshing. We've gone through a generation of people that acted like they knew everything. Mm-hmm. And look at where it's gotten us. I think now we're at a level of it's refreshing to hear that you don't really understand something. Mm-hmm. And not only does it help them to understand something better by explaining to them, but, you know, quite honestly, it makes me feel good to explain it to somebody how something works, because I know that I'm helping to sort of bridge that gap between understanding and not understanding. So I don't feel like I hired the wrong person or that the person doesn't get it when they don't get it. I think that they just are being honest. And so my biggest advice would be put yourself out there, take chances, and don't go for the millions, go for the passion.
Nice. Thank you so much, Gary. Right. I know you have to split.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Victoria. Thanks, Jeremy. It was good to meet you.
Have a good one, Gary. So awesome. We'll put his Twitter handles and everything else when we post this podcast. But actually, we should also wrap it up too. So I'm going to thank Stephen too for joining us. Thanks, Stephen, for letting me drag you onto this podcast.
It's my pleasure.
I wish we had more time to talk about how passionate we are about our technology, and I'm totally going to geek out with you once we're off this podcast about more technology. But do you have anywhere we can find you? Do you have a Twitter handle or a LinkedIn or email that if anyone wanted to ask you about your experience, where they can find you?
Yeah, I am on LinkedIn. I'm not on Twitter. or Facebook.
I don't know media.
Sorry.
It's okay.
But I do have Snapchat and I have LinkedIn, and that's the two that I use the most other than my personal email. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those, you guys can definitely find me at those. My email is steven.rodriguez259@gmail.com. And my LinkedIn is just Steven Rodriguez. It should be attached to the same email address. Okay. And my Snapchat, you're going to... my Snapchat name is, my name is Jeff222.
Nice. Yeah, actually Snapchat has been like booming lately. I mean, I love watching rave pubs on Thursdays, and they have like other days that, I mean, Jeremy might... I forgot which days were which, but there's like guests that take over on Thursday, and it's awesome. You should follow Rave Pubs too on Snapchat.
I will, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I geek out myself on Snapchat sometimes. My friends are like, what is that? You know, I have like an
iPhone that I use.
Yeah, exactly. So I have all these gadgets at home. You know, my friends are always asking me what they do and stuff. So yeah, I'm always on there, and you guys could always contact me there. Feel free.
We'll be checking out your VR stuff over Snapchat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's definitely all the time we have. You can find me. I have a Twitter. I got pulled into the Twitter land. My Twitter handle is @BorellaVictoria_. And Jeremy, we have a new show Twitter handle. Can you tell everyone what that is?
So our new Twitter handle is @CWMZ_podcast. Make sure you guys follow on Twitter, because I don't have a Twitter handle, and I'm definitely using this one from now on. But if you guys want to get in contact with me more personally, you can also find me on my Gmail, which is jones.jer90@gmail.com.
Sweet. Well, thanks everyone for listening. I hope everyone had a wonderful Halloween, since we're recording on Halloween, and then nobody got attacked by any clowns.
And thanks for grabbing a cup of coffee with us. Take care.